giving a voice to the silent majority. This is the Steve Gruber Show. Here's Steve.
All right, the case in New Mexico is absolutely outrageous. The case in New Mexico of this camp where two men and three women, alleged Muslims with their alleged Korans and their alleged teachings, were allegedly teaching children to prepare to shoot up schools and banks, and there was a body found there, allegedly, on all this nonsense. Anyhow, the judge in the case, I think her name's Sarah Bacchus, says, well, we're going to let these folks out anyhow. Who gets out on bail on a PR bond when there are 11 felony counts of child abuse, emaciated children, filthy conditions, guns, and a whole lot more? Ryan Morrow here, Clarion Project Shulman Fellow and National Security Analyst. Ryan, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's not just that this compound existed that shocks the system. It's how these people were treated. And Ryan, if you and I had children in our home that weren't being fed properly, or the body of a child in our home or on our property somewhere, do we get to go home for dinner?
Well, that would be what you would hope if we're going to be consistent, but that's probably not the case. And the reason is because, well, part of the reason is that radical extremist Christianity, that where if we weren't mistreating the kids that we were taking care of, it would be attributed to that, and there'd be a certain limit on how much you would say they're a threat to the community, just based on recent history. Then you take someone who grows up in a radical Islamic environment where, you know, dying in martyrdom for the cause is just such a prevalent belief, and so more people are familiar with that, and so they are more likely to hear about a situation like that, like at this compound, and say, okay, I'm scared about that. And so the judge, who must be insane or something, basically pointed to that and said, oh, well, isn't there religious discrimination here?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that when identity politics and political correctness seep into the black robe in this fashion, it is clearly unacceptable, Ryan. But let's go beyond that right now, because I could spend an hour going through that. But what I want to focus on is this camp in general. We find a camp where young people are being trained in horrible conditions, and so I guess it would emanate what the third world condition would be like working for ISIS directly, I suppose. But how many of these camps do you think exist in America? I'm going to guess this is not the only one.
Right. I think it's fair to assume this is not the only one, because it's very difficult to come across this amount of evidence that allows a prosecution. Remember, the FBI stalled and stalled for months on this, waiting for the evidence to reach the standard of probable cause, and the police just got fed up and went in on their own. That's the only reason that the public knows about all of this. So it's very possible for Islamic extremist forces to say, well, if these guys did it and they got away with it for so long, what would happen if we're less in your face? What if we're a little bit smarter about things?
If we just fly under the radar, right?
Movements for this.
If we keep ourselves under the radar and off the people's, you know, out of their vision, and just, you know, mind our own business and make sure the kids actually get a sandwich once in a while, you'll be all right. You know, you look at Taos, New Mexico, though, a very progressive place. You look at a progressive place. So is that the sort of county and place that you would expect to find more of these sorts of camps? Because I know you and I have talked about on this program camps and training facilities of sorts around this country, including Michigan, in different places. And so is the problem growing? Is it getting smaller? I know we've done a tremendous job internationally stepping on ISIS to drive it back. But what about here at home?
Sure. There are multiple radical Islamic movements that also have cultish behaviors that are based around this idea of setting up compounds, setting up, at the very least, private radical Islamic communes where you buy a big plot of land, and then you move your supporters all there, and then you engage in training on that land or nearby, off the land, if you want to be a little bit more pragmatic and stay off the radar. The group that gets the most credit for this, because they've been the most successful, is called Jamaat al-Fuqra, F-U-Q-R-A, and they are led by a real wacky extremist cleric in Pakistan who views himself as being this apocalyptic figure in the end times. And this group, despite their really crazy ideology, they've been able to expand since they were founded in the late 1970s, and today they claim to have 22 of what they describe as Islamic villages across the U.S., Islamburg being their headquarters in upstate New York and the one that's most well-known.
Right. So rate this for us, Ryan. You spend your time doing this, but rate this, say, from the last some 10 years ago to where we are today. Is the threat about the same? Has it increased? Has it gone up dramatically? Has it declined? Where are we?
I would say the overall threat of jihadist terrorists trying to set up these types of camps, that's probably decreased in recent years just because it spiked with ISIS, and then as you beat back ISIS, you just reduce the threat. But we're not getting at the core radical Islamic ideology. So if you have success against ISIS, it's really only temporary, and it's a matter of when circumstances regenerate, when something comes along and inspires people to say, I believe that this group, whether it's ISIS or another iteration, has received the blessing of Allah. Look how successful they are in the battlefield, and therefore they are the ones fulfilling end times prophecy. So as long as belief exists in the tenets of radical Islam, and especially in those prophecies related to the end of the world, then you're only one step away from an ISIS-type group exploding into existence over the course of a few months, and everyone saying, oh, well, how did we fail to see that coming?
Aren't they always here, though, Ryan? I mean, honestly, if you smash Al-Qaeda, here comes ISIS. If you smash ISIS, here comes some other black flag-carrying group. It's defiant of death like a cockroach in a way. Is there some truth to that?
There is, because there's always that remnant that stays behind. And according particularly to these radical Islamic prophecies, they believe that they will be this tiny minority. So you reduce their numbers, then for some of them, you're actually still fulfilling those end times prophecies for them. It's just a matter of them figuring out who the Mahdi is and just being patient, waiting for Allah to rescue them. When you defeat a jihadist group, though, you do discredit them as long as you beat them to such a pulp that people recognize that you're beating them to a pulp. So because then it's viewed as judgment from Allah.
Right. I guess we should continue to reduce their numbers as they need. I'm fully for that. I think the United States military should continue to reduce their numbers, and whenever possible here in America, we reduce their numbers if they're conducting themselves like they did there in New Mexico. Ryan, I'll give you the last word. Great conversation, but give me the last word.
Sure. I guess I would just plug Clarion Project, who I work for, and you can learn more about these types of compound movements where this is a more popular idea than people realize going back to the 80s. And we also keep track of groups that form the nucleus of this overall infrastructure and creates these types of wacky terrorists. And you can see how the factories are not ceasing production.
Right.
We're going after the product of the factories, but not the factories themselves.
We got to slow that down. Ryan Morrow, Clarion Project, Shulman Fellow and National Security Analyst. Ryan, always great having you here. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
There you have it. Ryan Morrow from the Clarion Project. Only the best guests for you on the Steve Gruber Show.
Tired of fighting hard water? Tired of all the scrubbing and harsh chemicals that can burn your hands and throat? Then it's time to call Wolverine Water, Michigan's premier water treatment company, and schedule your free water test today. Wolverine Water has been locally owned and operated in Michigan since 1947, so nobody understands your water issues better than Wolverine. Get your free water test by logging on to WolverineWaterSystems.com. One of our trained water professionals will personally meet with you, discuss your concerns, and put a plan together to treat your water. Get your free water test at WolverineWaterSystems.com now.
Looking for a new approach for ongoing health issues? Are you sick and tired of being sick? Maybe it's time for a change. Rykoff Wellness in East Lansing offers IV energy boost infusions, ozone infusions, ultraviolet blood irradiation, chelation, along with other intravenous vitamin, mineral, and nutrient treatments. Obtain a package of 5 infusions or treatments this month and save with special discount pricing. IV therapies can help improve energy, treat chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, autoimmune illness, and much more. Find out more at wycoffwellness.com or call 517-333-7270.
Hey parents, do kids think you're out of touch because of the way you dress?
Yes.
Well, say hello to instant style with Fashion On. Just spray Fashion On whatever you're wearing and look cool in an instant. Turn orthopedic shoes into vintage high tops, pleated khakis into skinny jeans. Even clip-on ties become fly gold chains. Just spray, let it dry, and presto.
What about my fanny pack?
You mean your hip MP3 player?
Wow.
But what about my bifocals?
You mean your hot pink shutter shades?
Hey, I can't see.
But your kids can see you, and trust me, they see fashion.
Thanks, Fashion On.
Fashion On is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.